Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Brenner and
Chantal Renee.
Yay!
And Penelope Flynn.
Tonight, we also have a special guest back with us again. This is your second time on our show, yes. Penelope Flynn, who is also a prolific author. You are in, were we in this book together, Slay?
Yes, we were.
Okay, Slay is a vampire anthology. It's the stories of the vampire noir, edited by Nicole Givens Kurtz. This came out a few years ago. We both of us have a vampire short story in here, so get that if you haven't already. It's published by Mocha Memoirs Press. And I always carry a few of these on my display when I get ready to go to trade shows now, because I want to support Nicole for doing this anthology. Absolutely. It's great. So this is also a good way of talking about what vampires being the theme, that we are going to talk about Abigail, which is a new vampire movie. Yes. I'm excited about that. Are y'all?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. And once we get started, I guess we'll all give our opinions on what we thought we were going to get and what we actually got.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So what's been new with you, Penelope? Did you have some new work out?
Well, actually, just recently in Instant Noodles, I have a flash fiction called Crunch Time. I have another thing coming out, and hopefully by the time we are all sitting together at the Texas Author Con, I will have the second book of Ramona, another one of my Renfield's chronicles, out by that time. So that's, I'm hoping to get the second book of Ramona out at that time.
Awesome. So what she's referring to is, well, you know, we've been mentioning this as weeks have come closer to the event, the Texas Author Con and Book Festival that's coming up in July. So in the Richardson, Texas area, make sure you come out and get some books from all of us and hang out. We're going to have a chance to meet Penelope in person this time.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And I knew she was going to be there because we both did an erotic hour with the San Francisco
LGBTQ and leather group in San Francisco. It's a nonprofit that just really works hard out there in the San Francisco area with people who are in the life. And it's very interesting. I think it's every second Thursday. I could be wrong. I know April 24th, they are doing a reading. So if you are so inclined, check them out. They are going to be doing a reading for those who are currently candidates for the Dildo Awards, D-I-L-D-E-A-U-X, Dildo Awards.
Yes, and they are a great group. I love being involved with them. Samiko Salson, who's also a part of our first, I got to dig in there and find that anthology, but it was the Black Magic Women anthology that came out. She was the one that edited that one, I believe. So Samiko is a part of the LGBTQ plus San Francisco leather, that community. And it's a fabulous community. When they first asked me to come on a few years ago, I thought I was just going to have like one feature, one guest appearance. And it turns out that I go on there like every few months now. So I just love it. I always bring some new erotic piece that I've either just written or has already been in one of my books. And we just have a good time. It is a judgment-free zone, and I love that.
Yes.
So it was great to see you.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, Chantel, you've been quiet. Jump in. What's up?
Well, let's see. This week, I've been writing and doing all kinds of stuff. And then you know how you send out stuff? This is a good one for all writers who are listening or watching. I got a denial. I got a no thank you. It's not for us. But guys, this is awesome because these are the little like stepping stones to that big important thing that you're trying to get into at some point in another. So it's actually kind of a win for me that I'm trying. You can't say that you're going to get something if you don't try.
That's right. You did the first step. Well, the first step was actually putting it together, writing it. Mm-hmm. And then the second step was submitting it. And people don't realize how each of those steps are difficult in their own right. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you for putting yourself out there. And you're just one step closer to getting what you want.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I heard Tyra Banks. Years ago, I think she was on Oprah's show and she was talking about as a model that she goes out and people say, how do you take issues of rejection? You go in and someone says they don't want you. That's a blah, blah, blah. It's just because she looked at herself that, you know, I'm a professional and this face, this body, this is my product. And if you look at my product and you say you don't want my product, that's fine. There's someone else down the road that does. Okay. And so that's you have to look at it that this is your product. And you know, like I tell my daughter is also a writer. And so you've got to get out there because it's not like you're begging somebody, please, please, please read my thing. The work you've done has value.
Yeah.
It is going to, in some cases, change someone's life. Yeah. The story that you read is something that is desired. So always think of that when you're putting it out there. It is a desirable thing that you're putting out there. And on top of that, if this group person, if it's not their thing, take it down the road. There's somebody else.
That's right. Maybe. And nowadays, as indie authors, we can always put out our own stuff. Like
I don't
go into anything. You can always put it out on your own. You don't have to have an anthology, you know. If you want it, you know, you keep submitting it until you get the right one, the one that's a great fit for it. But you don't have to wait. You can always release it to your fans.
That's right.
That's true.
All right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going exactly where you're going. I was like, I almost didn't get to see the movie.
Oh, really? What happened? There's drama. Give me the tea, girl. I don't have my teacup with me tonight. Well, give me the tea.
I'm an old lady, so my ass forgot.
Okay.
It's like driving last night. I went,
So
I quickly looked at my schedule. I had to rearrange everything and go at that exact moment. You guys, I went on gas vapors. My little gas light was on and everything. I'm like, I'm just going to have to get gas at the end because it's starting in 10 minutes.
Yes.
Girl, well, I had this on the calendar. Like, it was on the calendar, and I had an alarm set. That's how serious I am about it. When I know there's a movie or a TV show I want to catch, I ain't missing it.
All right.
Look, I ain't trying to point fingers, but both you and Jay wanted to see this movie with me, and neither of your asses said nothing.
Ah, girl. Well, you know what? I remember what happened when I went with you. I went to your side of town to see the Late Night with the Devil, and you said you were going to come over here for Abigail. Right. But then last week you said you weren't going to be able to come over here. You said you were going to watch it on your own. So I just thought you were going to catch it on your own. That's why I never mentioned it again.
That's right. You see, I even forgot I told you that.
Yeah, you told me you were going to have to catch, because you had, I think you said you had a freebie or you were going to have to catch it on side of town. And I said, okay.
Well, so I blame it on Jason. I'm just kidding.
Actually, Chantel sent me a message saying, oh, the thing is coming up. You saw the movie? I said, okay. Yeah, I'm going to see it soon. I got up this morning and my daughter and I went to the theater to watch it because there's one show that was like 10:25 in the morning. Missed that when we did the 11, you know, 15 show. Because I planned to do that like right away.
I went to see it Friday, but the thing is that as soon as I saw the trailer for this, I was like, I'm going to go see it. You know, I've said many times on here, anytime there is anything vampire related, it goes on my radar and on my calendar immediately. Now, we did have a snafu at first. We thought it was going to be last weekend. We were just that anxious, that ready for it. And then it ended up being, the previous weekend, it ended up being this past weekend. So when you all first saw the trailer, did you say, oh, yes, this is going to be great? Now, I didn't say this is going to be great. I just said, oh, I got to see it because it's a vampire movie. Did y'all see the trailer and was like, this is going to be great?
Yes, because I was of the mind, and have y'all seen Megan, right? Megan, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, vampire, Megan, dancing around, little scary girl. I'm in. I'm in. Okay. So, yeah. With Shades of Megan in my mind, I was ready.
Okay. Did you think about that when you saw her do that little ballerina dance?
Yes, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I went straight to Megan. Because
Yes.
when we were at Texas Frightmare last year, we had a chance to see the girl, the actress, actually
Really?
do dance live during the camp.
Wow, that must have been great. Oh, this is wonderful.
It was very personable, yes. Okay, so the very first thing that I thought when I saw this after, oh, this is a vampire movie, so I got to see it, was when she's a killer and she's got the fangs. We know going into this that this is a vampire. That's not
Right,
a
right.
spoiler for this. And she's dancing around in this pink tutu, her whole ballerina outfit. I remember years ago mentioning to a friend of mine that I had this idea about a serial killer type vampire killing in a pink tutu. And she thought it was such rubbish. She was like, oh my,
Oh, see there?
don't do anything like that. This is a message to you all that are listening. You see that? I had this idea. Now, not about the kidnapping and all that, but about the killer being in a pink tutu. And I mentioned it to a friend. The friend talked me out of doing that. As a matter of fact, if you're on my Patreon, then you all know that I named a different type of story, the killer in a pink tutu, and I gave that as the preference, like,
Oh.
go and explain how my friend said that was a dumb idea, so I was gonna do it anyway just out of spite, but I wasn't gonna release it. I was just gonna make it a private short on Patreon. But yeah, so I think there's a message in there for creatives. If you have an idea, follow through with your idea. And also what I'm learning is you don't have to tell people what your idea is because they might talk you out of it. So if you are the creative, you have been given the inspiration, follow that shit through. Don't let anybody talk you out of it because they're not the same visionary that you are. They don't have that same creative thing going on. I know she has the friend, she didn't mean any harm, and she's read and enjoyed some of my other books, but I am the person that comes up with the stories and write them, not her. I gotta follow my gut, and even
Right.
if she is not the correct audience for that particular story,
That's
somebody
right.
else will be. So it was just a lesson learned.
Absolutely. My first impression when I saw it, I wasn't a fan of Megan. Not because I feel like the robot thing disinterests me. Like the
Really?
AI thing always. And all my whole life it's been that way. Any AI has been very like, eh, like I just don't have interest. I did, however, of course, love that it was a vampire. I thought the idea was kind of gonna, I thought it was gonna be funny, which I did laugh a lot in the show.
Yeah.
I did. But I was excited about it. I thought this looks fun, like fun horror.
Yeah. Yeah,
All right, so
some.
let's talk about it. What did you ladies think?
Well, okay, those of you, who have IMDb or saw any of the trailers, you know that Giancarlo Esposito is in this film for, whatever amount of time he's in the film. But when I see Giancarlo Esposito, I'm like, I'm gonna go see this film.
Yes.
Because Giancarlo Esposito's in the film, and so yeah, I should do that. And I did, because Giancarlo Esposito. So there you go. If no other reason, to see hear him talk is wonderful. I thought the concept of, the kidnapping, you see it in the trailers, it's a kidnapping of a little girl who they find out later is kind of a monster that they had not thought about. But I do think there were some interesting things with the characterizations as we find out about these people, not through it's like the normal background dump. They play a game. And
Yeah.
through this game, we find out about these people, but only as much about themselves as they are willing to tell, willing to buy in for. That's all we know about them. And very, sketchy backgrounds, really, of everyone, all the way through. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that you really know, fully everything about, except for, I guess, the main characters, that are driving the story. So that's a positive and a negative. when I watch a story like this, and the positive is, you know, moves the story along and we don't get bogged down. The negative is, you know, in the back of my mind, I count down to when you're gone. I don't know enough about you that anybody's going to care whether you've left or whether you stay. So, you know, that's the only thing, you know, those things that we as horror writers, consumers, you know, in the back of our minds, okay, I don't know too much about anybody. I'm not developing too much of a relationship with anyone. So when they're gone, you know, I'm not going to feel bad. Or maybe some big reveal later on tells us something about them that makes you go, ah, you know, oh, now I see. And I guess my question to you all is, as you're watching this thing, in the back of your minds, you're like, who's going to be our final girl? Were you wondering?
I knew it would be Joey.
Yeah.
I knew it would be. I just felt like the way they were setting her up with the little girl. And by the way, guys, you know, we spoil the shit out of stuff. So if you're going to see this, stop and come back. I knew it was going to be her because of the way they set things up. As a matter of fact, up until a certain point, I thought she was in on it. Because it was like, only she can deal with the girl. No one else is supposed to, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, I wonder why they did it that way. But I thought it was very exciting to, first of all, I was really happy the first kill. That dude was getting on my fucking nerves.
Yeah, but you know, again, I'm going to tell you something. Generally, I don't like it in films or, oh, here, I'm walking around all by myself. And here's the sound of something creepy. This door just opened up all alone. Let me go down there and see what's going on down there. Okay, I really hate that. But, I like the fact that the director, writer, made certain that we understood that this guy was high off his ass. Okay, I mean, he was floating in, you know, on a spliff-induced cloud, you know, throughout all this. So this could excuse that type of behavior. So I like the fact that they established, number one, some of them were high, others were drunk. So to some extent that they had limited capacity and also, you know, disbelief, you know, that these things were going on, which puts you in the position where you're not making accurate decisions in these types of stories. But I do like the fact that they showed the people with limited capacity, because then that can excuse, you know, this trope of just, hey, let's split up and, you know, look for things and in a place that we don't know, where someone has already said, hey, there may be someone else in here other than us. Why would I go anywhere? Why would I not be chained at the hip to everyone else?
I don't know about you guys. Let me tell what I feel like the reason that they were so willing to always split up was because they didn't trust each other.
Well, yeah, understood. They did not.
They made that very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What and do you the think,
two. Jesse? I'll say regarding the first kill, I would be remiss without saying rest in peace to Angus Cloud. He was the first to go in the movie, but he also died like a few months ago. It wasn't very long ago. And I
He was so young. He did a great job, man. I've seen people look that high before. He was really living that moment.
I first saw him in Euphoria, and he did such a fabulous job in Euphoria. And everybody was like, oh, they wanted more of him. So rest in peace to Angus Cloud. He brings something to his characters. You know, he's got that slow speech, and his eyes are kind of half open. And so, like, he leaves his mark. You know, he whatever performance that I've seen him give, he's... You're not going to forget that character. So I was shocked to see him. I was shocked to see him go so fast, like in the movie. So that was like, ooh. But I will say the way he died and the way everybody died when they were killed was the best part. I mean, you know, I love a creative kill in a movie, but with this one, I could appreciate the blood the guts. Like, they did not hold anything back with the blood on this set. It was everywhere, galore, explosive, literally.
Yes.
So but some of it I thought was kind of crazy.
Like a crazy
Yeah, but some of it's crazy to me, like with the first time that the little girl gets shot. And then she, like, wipes the blood, and it's nothing there.
I love that. Yes. Just,
but then, like, the back of her is, like, the whole brain is, like,
yeah.
So how did they put her brain back in, man? I'm like, that's a whole lot of stuff out
just
there.
Just like and her hand that grew back.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but remember how much time it took for the hand to grow back? And but I guess the issue is sunlight versus just a regular bullet.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I know. And I know this is y'all's show, but I'm gonna have to put it out there. Now you all are vampire aficionados.
Yeah.
Now, how did you like how much fast and loose they play with the rules? I mean, they're playing kind of fast and loose.
I'm okay with that.
I feel like I enjoyed this type. I don't know what the director did, but mm-hmm. I really felt these things were more creature. They didn't feel like the traditional vampire, which I appreciated. I felt like they were very, not animalistic, just creature.
Yeah, like a real more creature. But there are a lot of things now that are actual creature that call themselves vampires and they're not. So I don't like that too much. I like to say, if you're a creature, just call it a creature. Don't call it a vampire if it's not a vampire. Yeah, but she was definitely a creature. But say like, okay, cross don't work. Okay, there's no holy water. No garlic doesn't work. You know, okay, the sunlight did work. Okay, that was a good one.
The steak did work.
Yeah, and I presume that silver did not work because only they used it, you know, to reflect sunlight, but the silver itself was not used. So the steak, I don't know. I don't know if they ever even got they've got one close enough to her heart to determine whether that was true or not.
That's how they killed the chick.
Yeah.
She got staked by the other vampire.
I'm always
Who got staked by the other vampire?
The guy that got turned by the first. Okay, so the caretaker turned the guy. What was his name? Can't remember his name. Frank?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so then Frank came down.
Dan Stevens. Let me see. Yeah, Dan Stevens, which I was really happy to see in this movie too.
And then when he came down into the big room, the chick was in there and he staked her. Or somebody staked her.
Yeah, but she didn't die.
Yeah, she blew up.
Yeah, she exploded.
I thought she exploded because of the sun.
There was a girl downstairs in the little den or whatever.
Okay, so there were only three women, right? The blonde, Joey, and the little girl. Those are only three women, right?
Yes.
That I can remember. Now, the girl, the woman who was puppetized, I thought when she was downstairs, I guess it was a stake that she got. Because I was wondering, well, you see the sun coming in, and she's like burning a little bit. So why didn't they just take the things off the window? Because you could see her. She's like, you know. So I guess I was thinking that they were going to burn her. Well, no. They killed her with sun, didn't they? Did she come upstairs? Who was it that got the sun? Didn't she get... They took the silver tray, reflected the sunlight, right?
That guy.
But who did they kill?
You're right.
It was her.
Now I'm confused.
They killed her with the... They reflected the sunlight and killed her.
Oh, it was the guy who turned the other guy. He got staked.
You're right. Okay, the Giancarlo Esposito guy.
The guy he made, he staked him.
You're right. He did. He staked him. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. All right, that's the person. So if they had gotten to stake her, they would have. If they ever got around to getting properly positioned, okay? All right, they would have staked her. So the stake works, the sun works, but the garlic doesn't work.
I tell you what they did. They took the religion out of vampirism. That's all they did.
But just like they did Blade, which is one of my favorite films of comic book to film. The first time I saw it, and they did the thing saying, okay, we got the silver, holy water, that didn't work, you know? And this was just right at the very beginning. Whistler's like, that doesn't work. So they did take it out of it then too, which if you remember back in the old days when I was a girl, you all probably weren't around yet. Dracula, Dead and Loving It. And when they're at the table sitting with Dracula, and the guys get ready to pull out, you know, his cross, when he pulls it out, it's the Star of David. And the vampire's like, what? What? So I think, yeah, they probably took out the religious iconography because of the joke that was made kind of with that Dracula Dead and Loving It, that, okay, I have a religious symbol, but, you know, it's a Star of David.
I don't know. I think, you know, vampires, werewolves, all that is very, I mean, it's just created, right? It's made up. None of it's real.
It's fiction. And whoever is doing the story can have whatever rules they want to have. So I'm okay with it. As long as they are consistent within their own canon, I feel like they can make whatever canon they want to make up.
I'm a purist. I like to stick to it. But if it's not, it's, call it something else. You know, if it's not, if it's not a vampire, call it something else. Okay, so this is my thing. I mean, I have mine as Renfield, so they are vampire human hybrids, so they have their own rationale of raison d'etre and their own mythology. But yeah, just like, if it's a thing, just call it. But if you want something new, just call it your new thing. Your new thing.
Well, if it lives on blood, I consider it a vampire.
Yeah, me too. And then, and you can have, I guess, a vampire that, if it's feeding off of energy, that's, you could be a energy vampire too. So I guess whatever is.
Yeah. What is that movie that had the vampires that came, the aliens, and they came down and the woman was basically doing that, taking energy off of people and sending it up to the spaceship? I wish I remembered the name of it. But she was walking around nude the entire time. And it's like the first film I think I ever saw Sir Patrick Stewart in. I mean, this is like in the 80s, you know? And it was, I cannot remember the name of it, but these vampires come from outer space and they just go in and they are sucking the energy out of people, sending it up to their spaceship.
Now she's walking around naked and she's going around sucking. Are you sure it wasn't porn?
Vampire porn. If you're listening or watching this, send us a message or post it in our group and let us know what the movie is that she's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Give us the deets so we can look it up if we haven't seen it.
Yeah. Already.
Yeah. What did y'all think about? Okay, I'll tell you. I just had like three or four different thoughts going through my head once that happens. First, before I get to the other thought, I think my favorite part was at the end when, one of my favorites, when we think she's getting ready to go, or you're expecting maybe the story's not over, maybe something's happening, and then we get the surprise at the end when Daddy Vampire shows up. There's been some speculation about whether this is Dracula that's coming. I don't know if they are going to continue on with that. They did kind of leave the door open that maybe we're going to have some more with him. But that was interesting because that's Matthew Good, the guy that's playing her dad. He's the vampire in Discovery of Witches. Did y'all notice that?
I could not get through Discovery of Witches. I couldn't get through it. So I know that he was in it, but I couldn't get through it.
Oh, you couldn't get
through it? I kept looking at it, and I was like, he looks so fucking familiar.
Yeah, that was Matthew Good. So it was.
Well, you know what? I looked him up afterwards because it's like they do this, you know, panning up from his feet to his face, like, ta-da. And it's like, and my daughter and I look at each other, well, obviously this means something to somebody. we have no idea who this is. So we had to go home and look it up. And I said, oh, okay, all right, okay. And I said, well, maybe it's because the Discovery Witches, or maybe it's because he was also, and what is the one, Downton Abbey? Is that the one that he was in also? So I said, yeah, so everybody that's big reveal and they, aha, you know, I said, this means something to someone. We didn't know what.
But I don't like what they did with it after that. Like, I was expecting him to come in and, like, really demolish some shit, too, because his so, like, you know, that was a gasp. I was like, oh, wow, okay, Daddy is showing up. And then it was like, okay, he's going. I understand that they tie that into the plot, the emotional plot line of the girl wanting her dad's affection and attention, yada yada. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm here for the horror and the vampire and the blood and the killing. So I wanted to see him.
Sure. What there kind was of an entire swimming pool of bodies. What the fuck?
Well, yeah. But you know what? In a way, like, and you're right.
It's time to see something else. Like, I'm ready for him to rain down hell.
But see, that's the thing. Because when they were, remember Frank was saying, okay, well, the caretaker was saying that he was on his way. The dad is on his way. And they're going to hook up and they're going to take his stuff, blah, blah. So in my mind, I'm thinking when they're going through this battle, that's when he shows up. And like this guy is there beating up on his little girl. And then the dad comes in and say, oh no, you're not going to beat up on my little girl. And you know, and then does his thing. You know, that's what I was expecting. You know, like a, you're not, so to prove, you know, his, you know, his love and that he's behind her and, you know, that he had not forgotten about her.
I love you, but. No, the girl saved the day, okay? The girl.
I know. That's the other part of it, too, that, of course, you want the girls to save the day. But also, but again, like you said, why bring up this daddy-daughter thing without having him come in to resolve it? You know,
Yeah, and I'm good with the girls, you mm-hmm. know, wrapping everything up. But I'm just saying, if you're going to have the build-up to him coming, what is he going to rip up? That's all I'm asking. Like, he doesn't have to do anything with saving them, but you got to come in and kill somebody. Something's got
to
happen.
Yeah, because of all the vampires, we have to figure. Up
for the sequel or something
right.
like that.
Right, just something. Because he is the only vampire who starts out with us knowing he is a vampire. Everybody else sees the turned. Or they're hiding it. The little girl's hiding it. The other people are human. They turn into it. And he comes in unabashed.
I feel like, though, it would almost be anticlimactic if he did anything because of his age and whatever he would have done. It would have been so instantaneous. You know what I mean? Just like a snap of a finger and they were like torn in half. You know what I mean? Like...
I wanted to see
that. And because the daughter did say, Abigail says, that to Frank, you don't know all the things. You know, you're a newbie. You don't know all the stuff that I know because I've been around so long. So there's the issue that she has at least that in her pocket that she knew more. She is a lot older than he is. He doesn't know all the tips and tricks, and she certainly isn't sharing them with him. And, you know, she's the big bad, you know.
I will say, in terms of her being the big bad, this is where I had an issue. And I always have an issue with this. It's the same thing with Lucretia, is that her name, being Black Panther. She is too frail, too small for me to take that seriously as a threat, as a killer. Now, she is more powerful than them because she is a vampire. But what I'm saying is compare the contrast between when the girl is around killing and when the guy, Dan Stevens' character, Frank, when he becomes a vampire, it's much more threatening. He's huge. He's big. So not only is he powerful like her, but he's also bigger. He's physically stronger. Mm-hmm. And that just makes much more of a threat to me. So I can't, like, okay, they're human. She's a vampire, so she's tougher than them. But if they could have all ganged up on her and all that, I mean, she's just weaker. And so it just doesn't ring true to me as, like, really scary until the guys, the bigger the person and powerful, all at once. That's when it's more believable to me.
Well, I disagree only because what she says is that I like to play with my food. She's not putting all her effort into this. She wants them alive. She wants to needle them, play with them, frighten them. So I don't think she's going all out until, you know, unfortunately she's been injected, you know, with the sedative. They've had her held down. And now she's got to fight him after, of course, hand gone off. So she's not 100% when she's fighting him. She's limited. But I think at the beginning, she could have killed them all very quickly. But she wanted to play with them.
I mean, I see that too. I feel like they did that because throughout this whole time, we're already high with the, we don't know if she's going to come around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen next. And it's just like, and then they had to bring it up higher. But then the highest level of it, of the fear of what was going to happen, was when Papa showed up, but then nothing happened. So I can see how that was a bit of a letdown, you know.
And for me, I'm going to tell you, I thought they really could have done more with the thing when she made, what's her name, Sammy into it. I thought that the young woman who played the role, who danced as Sammy, was quite excellent. I really enjoyed that portion of that performance when she's downstairs and she's, they're both, you know, doing the stuff and she's dancing. I thought that was really, really, you know, creepy and balletic and rock and punk and all these things mixed together. I really enjoyed that part.
But I felt like it was that, but I could have done without that shit.
Oh, come on. That was fun. You didn't like that part?
No.
I
was like,
it.
Seriously?
Can we fast forward it. But what I thought also...
It was silly for me, too.
I liked it. But I thought that also, if you can turn people, right? Wouldn't it have been better to, like, turn more of them? And having them, you know, just going around causing chaos as well. I just thought it would, you know, more interesting, to get somebody that they had that one girl and she was only, like, again, the puppeteer thing. But wouldn't it have been neat to just have one... have her instead of gone crazy, you know, when this thing happened to her and not knowing, she kept asking, what's going to happen to me. I thought it would have been interesting to just see her just be like, you know, one hand I'm human, other hand I've turned to this thing, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, am I your friend, am I your enemy? I would have liked to see more of that, but they took that away from them, you know, with her when she killed the guy, I cannot remember his name, unfortunately, you know, it's so quickly, you know, so quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I felt like there could have been more. And, you know, between her trying to recognize that she is changing to try to, you know, pull her back from the brink, you know, I'm your friend, you know, we're going to do this. But it was just so quick, you know, just turn around and kill you now. You know, I just wish they'd.
What I would have liked to have seen, and maybe this is because I'm this disturbed as a human, but I think it would have been great if the vampire chick started pulling boards or punching holes, and then like she would like give her self-control back and take it away, and self-control back and take it away.
Yeah,
and then every time
she
came back, there would be more and more sunlight, and then she could explode.
That would
because
be great.
She was.
I
she
would
was
have loved
torturing
that. Me. I would have loved that. That's good notes for the next one.
That
I would have loved. That would have been fantastic. The battle.
They had added that to the dance number.
Yes.
The dance wouldn't have been so silly. There were a few times where I was thinking, okay, maybe they're going to do this. And then they went a different way that was just kind of meh. And then maybe they're going to do this next. And then it was like, meh. So that's, I remember C. Robert Cargill saying once on Twitter that whenever you're watching something and you're thinking, oh, it's going to do this, and that seems like a fantastic idea, but it takes a different direction, that you should make a note of that, because that's a story for you to tell. Like, that's a really great inspiration for you.
Yeah.
And I hadn't forgotten that, because, yeah, there were a few times where I was like, oh, man, that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah,
but
and again, like some of them are very wonderful visuals. You know, if you're a visual person and you like that, if they do not skimp on the visuals.
Agreed.
No.
Plot's a little thin, but they do not skimp on the visuals. I mean, the visuals are stunning. You know.
So what's y'all's number for this? What are you rating it?
Out of 5 or 10. Out of 5 or 10.
No, out of 10.
out of 10.
I'd say 6.
Me too.
I would probably say a 6.5. I enjoyed it a lot, but again, a lot of these horror movies right now are doing a very cute little box of the recipe of how to do a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I felt a little bit of that. I did enjoy the creature aspect. I really enjoyed the teeth were fun. You know, so there was a lot of little fun things, but at the same time, in the blood was hilarious. And just like in Kill Bill, I was cracking up when there was blood flying everywhere. I was doing the same thing. Nobody else was in the theater, of course, because I'm a fucking weirdo, I guess. But I just enjoy that.
I would say that it was like, it was, and I'm always going to watch the vampire movies when they come out. But this is not one that I could say was great. And I've seen recently, when you mentioned Chantel, all the other horror films that are out, like, I've been seeing some really great horror films. Like, I really enjoyed Immaculate, and I really enjoyed The First Omen. You know what I mean? So in order for me to find this great, it would have had to have some wow factors, and I didn't get
it. Yeah, I agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you one thing. She definitely beat Megan out on that backwards flip thing when her back broke, and then she cracked it all back in place. That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. Her dancing was good. The child could dance. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. I don't care. I'm here for the blood and guts. So I don't care about the blood.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I enjoyed it. I loved the dancing. I thought it was interesting, you know, to put it in there. Of course, every time I hear, you know, the Swan Lake, you know, it's hard not to think in the back of your mind of Black Swan, you know, which is not horror, but psychologically is kind of wild. And, you know, this, but thinking again, the concept like these ballerinas, you know, this grown woman trapped in this child's body, you know, how long? Is it forever? And it may be, because her father turned her, you know. And
you of Kirsten Dunst and Interview with a Vampire. That's what I was thinking about, like this woman trapped in this little body.
Yeah. Yeah.
About her character. Yeah.
But I tell you what, I believed her as a young girl, you know, like I believed her portraying that. And it was kind of good, because it's really hard to observe a child that's being adult. That was, I think, one of the things that I didn't care for with Megan. Mm-hmm. I felt there was a sexual aspect to that character with the dancing, and the way she behaved wasn't very childlike, because she thought and acted older because of her, she was a machine. And so that kind of disturbed me. I felt like she was not portrayed as a child, you know, even though she was representing a child, but her mind was that of an adult, the AI, you know, thing. And so maybe that could have just been me, but, you know, I don't know. I just felt like it was a little bit like I didn't see her as a child. This one, I saw her as a child, even though she wasn't. She was years beyond that. So I think it kind of helped it be a little bit more comfortable and a little more accepting for me personally.
Yeah, I think she did play a good little girl. Of course, going back and forth between her little girl portrayal and her little monster, you know, portrayal of much wiser than her physical years would show. But I mean, and Megan, I did not ever think that it was a girl. I knew that this was a monster robot, you know, actually masquerading as a little girl. So I, you know, I never trusted it, because this is a monster robot masquerading as a little girl. And it's scary, because if you're foolish enough to think that it's just a little doll, then this thing's going to kill you. I'll tell you the part that scared me the most, I mean, going off of Megan, when she chases that little boy on her hands and like an animal. That was a wild thing for me, that somebody would think to do that, not to have her run after him, but like an animal, you know. I thought that was brilliant. This thing, this only thing, they never got to the point in this film, in my mind. You have a person who was a child who was in this body, like you said, how she cracks that back and, you know, gets up. But you have, this is a monster, And I wish they had done things that were more monstrous, that they had been a little bit more, had a little bit more creativity with what could be done with this monster who has this body that can, you know, you cut pieces off and they come back. But I think that missed opportunities for being able to really just, because basically all we saw was like a little girl with some teeth, right? You know, a little girl with monster teeth. They didn't do anything with that monster's body. They talk about shape-shifting, but no real shape-shifting occurred where they could have done some really great stuff to make it really scary. You know,
and well, that's one thing. When that hand exploded, that was friggin' cool. I've never seen that before. And then it started growing. I was like, ah, shit, that's awesome. That part really, if it hadn't been for certain things like that, it would have definitely got a 4 for me. You know what I mean?
Really.
But, you know, the stuff like that was fun.
And usually I look for the twist, the, you know, what is shocking to me. And I could pretty much figure out most of it. Like, I knew that she would be the one. Did y'all see it coming that she was Yeah, that was pretty predictable. That I will say that it caught me off guard when Giancarlo Esposito, when he first turned, I was shocked. So I loved that moment because it was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And man, does he look horrific.
Yes,
I've never seen him look bad. He is always a handsome fella. And to see him look monstrous like that, I was like, go ahead on.
Yeah.
You know, you need to come on to the horror conventions. You need some
horror. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, for sure.
Anything else was shocking to you all? Anything that you found unpredictable? That's where I was going with that.
That part definitely got me. And it also shocked me that his new create, like this guy he just turned, was able to kill him so quickly because he was older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, but the thing is, I look at it this way, that it shows a certain level of hubris that he believes he can go to him and say, we'll do this thing and we'll share it. When he knows that this guy is a control freak, he would never share. He wants it all.
That's true.
Such hubris to do this, to give him this power. And then it's like, oh, well, we're just going to go trotting off into the sunset. Oh, yeah. The stupidity. Surprise.
There's nothing about his character that made you think he was going to play nice.
I mean, you know this man.
Yeah,
no. You know what he did. You know, come on.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't know he was going to do it that fast, but I saw it on the horizon.
As soon as he turned, you know that's exactly what he's going to do. It's he's full of power now. You know,
I mean, that's what she said about him too. Once you got the taste for that power, you wanted it.
Right. Yeah.
And he just, all he did was play to his strengths, right?
And it was so funny too.
And I said that first little guy who got, you know, his head torn off, I thought, what a mean-spirited little thing that is that's doing this to put the body there and put the head back on it. I think they could have taken it, but I'm just saying, but I just, you know, it's like, wow, how mean spirited, you know.
And I think maybe she would have looked, going back to your earlier point about her moving quickly and doing these things, I think she would have seemed scarier to me if we could have seen her moving fast.
You're right, just out of the corner of your eye, you see.
Right. See something showing her flying, moving quickly, and severing his head. And then, you know, then she would have looked more terrifying to me.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to tell you that this is me, when she's in the room and crackety, crackety, crackety her hands and coming out of the handcuffs. But by this time, we know she's already been out of the handcuffs.
Right.
Killing people. You know, kill that guy. So what is the big deal? Just, I would have thought it was more cool if she just like slipped out of him. Like all this time, you know, I could have just slipped out. But like, you know, when she's in the cage in the elevator and she just knocks the door. It's like, wow, love that.
I
like that.
They had her cage and she just tears it open. I did like that scene.
Yeah. I like that.
That was a testament to her playing with her food.
Yes. Yes. She's playing with the food. I thought that was really funny. It's, he's gonna,
but the pool, the body, The pool of the bodies.
Oh my God, that's so disgusting to me.
That was so disgusting. That was the most horrific part of the whole film.
Uh-huh. Agreed. To fall into that. Oh,
I don't know
my
how,
God.
I mean, that chick that fell in there, she vomited when she found the guy without a head. I would have been puking in that pool. Like, how could she be in that?
It was
I would have lost my mind.
Disgusting.
I can imagine how she stank.
Oh, I know. And my thing is, you had to have smelled it. Like, you don't smell those bodies at the top before you...
That's weird. It's, you know, I always wonder that in these films. Things smell bad.
Yes.
Why do you not smell them?
You can, you can smell death. I have
you
many
can
times.
You can walk into a house and smell a dead mouse. And you're going to tell me you cannot smell, I don't know, dozens of dead bodies?
Yeah, that was disgusting.
No. No.
Just thinking about that was pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that was a good one. They did well with that. That was a very good, they get points for that.
Yes, kudos to
that. That's just it. All the things we would have liked to have seen, the speed move, all these little details, they took the money and they invested it in those other things instead.
That's
so
true.
You know,
yeah,
we can't expect, they had, you know, they had a Kool-Aid budget with a with a
champagne taste with a Kool-Aid budget.
I was
thinking about that budget too, because I was like, they have a very limited cast and they have very limited scene. I mean, not scenes, sure, but
set. Yeah.
So I think you're right. They probably put all the money into those gruesome moments, and that would be the part that I remember too. Yeah.
I mean, you know, last year was it Evil Dead that we saw last year, the new Evil Dead.
Yeah.
I think the one with the mother.
Necronomicon.
Sister,
yeah, the kid gets the Necronomicon, and the kid first gets it, and then he changes the mom.
They left the level high for how much blood one can use in a movie, so I think these guys were trying to catch up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, if they come out with another one, which I hope they do, because I'm still going to watch it, you know?
Right.
And I want to see what they do with Matthew Good's character. And I hope that they do keep the blood element. Hopefully this movie does well. You know, it has some potential for a franchise, and hopefully they'll have more of a budget, just like, you know, with Terrifier. You remember?
Well, I have a question to you. Now, you say that, and that came up to me as I was leaving with my daughter, and said, okay, like you said, you see this as a franchise. What do you see? Do you see the little girl coming back? Because did she age out? Does she... They look like another little girl, a different girl. Do they bring this to dad? What do you see with this Abigail being a franchise? I mean, how do you see it?
I would love for it to be a daddy-daughter takeover. I would love to see them work together with his, and then not being on opposite sides. So I hope this was a reconciliation for them so that they can go and terrorize together, you know? Looking at her, I thought very much of Louis and Louis. What's Kirsten Dunst's character in Interview with the Vampire? Come on. Louis and...
Can't help you with that, but I know who you're talking about. I'm bad with that. But I know
Claudia.
Who you're talking about.
Claudia, okay. It was giving very much Louis and Claudia. And we know that there was a lot of story to tell with them over the span of some years. So I would love to see these two really have their own story next time.
Come on now. We know the youth of today.
Actually, you know what?
The youth of today cannot do that. They cannot. The thing with Anne Rice's stories, she appreciated the time lapse of living that long and the experiences that were so soaked up in important to each of those characters, because that's all they had was time. So their experiences were like little meals for them. So I don't think the youth of today could handle that. They need it like quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Well, a prequel. You think maybe a prequel instead, a set of prequels showing how they got to that point, from her being turned to, you know, becoming his assassin? Do you think that would be a...
Yeah, that would work too. And I don't mean so much as this franchise expanding over years. I was just using Louis and Claudia's expansive world as an idea, as a thought, to say that this could be something where these two could have a reign of terror, you know, for however long. I would like to see them team up against some bigger threat, or, you know, or instead of, so this time she pretended to be the prey and was actually the villain. I would like, now that we know, now that we've seen her, and now that we've seen her dad, them go into the next movie as the fucking villains, as a duo. So prequel or sequel, you know, it's all good. But I want to see, because it's Abigail's story, like, I don't want to lose her in this process, although I am more interested in Matthew Good's character. That's why I say, you know, a duo, the two of them, would be nice. Just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. Yeah. What would you see? Like, well, you said you didn't make it to the end. You didn't like it. You fell asleep.
Who, me?
Yeah, Penelope, did you say you didn't make it to the end?
Oh, no, I didn't make it to the end of the, which was the company of Discovery Witches.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I didn't make it. I couldn't make it through that. Okay. No, but the film, y'all, so the whole film, and at the end, I guess there's supposed to be some, I'm going to tell you this thing. I was very disappointed that there was not an extra scene. Weren't you all?
Yeah.
I was really disappointed about something clever. Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that next oomph.
So was I. I thought was disappointing. They were sitting, she gets in the car, she's driving off in her van, and I certainly thought,
I was waiting for somebody to show up in the back of the van. Yes. That's another one of those, oh my God, missed opportunities.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I really was expecting. I'm sitting there, my daughter, and you know, and the credits are rolling, and we're still sitting here. Credits are rolling. Still sitting here. And she said, "Look," she pulled out her phone and went online. It's like, no, there's no extra scene.
I'll tell you what, though.
Girl, wreck that shit. Run into a tree or something.
Yeah, I liked it enough, but I don't know that I would care to see it turn into a franchise. I'd rather see the Santa Claus movie become a franchise. The one with the dad from Stranger Things, where he was killing everybody.
Oh yeah.
And he was the Viking Santa.
That was good. Was I like Silent that.
Go ahead, the right one, Silent Night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. I don't know the name of it, but I do remember it was quite good.
Okay, let me look it up real fast.
That was quite good. I agree.
Yeah.
Those
bad elves, man.
Let me look it up real fast. Let me see. Silent Night. Joel Kinnaman's movie is coming up. So let me see. Did I have the right thing? Oh, hell. What's his name then? I might have the wrong name.
I don't remember.
I just go to IMDb and go Stranger Things, find him on IMDb, and then go backwards. Yeah.
I was trying to think of his names, but I just went through Stranger Things. All right.
Yeah.
Violent Night. That's it.
Violent Night. Ah, there we go.
Yeah, Violent.
I love that movie. It was so good. I enjoyed the heck out of that.
It was.
I would like to see another one of those too. Yeah. Well, I mean, anything, I feel like these are all kind of at least new, even though vampires aren't new, they're still at least coming out with new stories, and it's not the same thing.
That's true.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess we've held you long enough, Penelope. Any parting words? And by all means, tell people where they can find you and all that.
Yeah. I'm simple, PenelopeFlynn.com. That's my website. You can find my work on Renfields at renfields.us. Check my books. I hope you see this right. This is not mirrored. I wish they could have my thing mirrored here. I don't know how they do it. But this is Blurred Erotica 2.
Oh, you can therapy. Say couples therapy. Yeah, it's coming in great.
Yes, yes. Blurred Erotica 2, couples therapy, in which I have one of my Vampire Renfield-based stories, an erotica-based story. Also, Penelope Flynn, this is, come on, lights, get it right. Regarding Koyescu, the Chronicles of Renfields, regarding Koyescu, he is a revenant, a vampire, and of course, let's see if we get this one right. Come on, y'all. This is Penelope Flynn, first book of Ramona from the Chronicles of Renfields, and again, vampire-based. So if you're into the vampire subgenre of horror, check out the Chronicles of Renfields. And again, like we said, Texas Author Con in July. I will be there. So yeah, see y'all there.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us. Discuss Abigail. Look forward to seeing you in a few months.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.